We're going to start with Kaf Bet Amud Bet today, about 10 lines from the bottom, two dots. Al kol tzara shelo tavo al hatzibur. Okay, we had on any trouble that comes, matri'in. So Tana Rabbanan, we're going to quote a braita. Al kol tzara shelo tavo al hatzibur, matri'in aleh. Chutz mirov kshamim. Except for, remember, unless too much rain comes. My time, Amar Rabbi Yochanan lefi she'ein mitpalalim al rov hatova. You can't complain about too much good. It's just not appropriate, right? It's like kafoy tov. Right? Someone gives you something and they say, oh, it's too much. I don't want so much. But Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin she'ein mitpalalim al rov hatova. Where do we learn that you don't daven for rov hatova? Shenemar, haviu et kol ha'maaser al beit ha'otzar. Remember, we learned this pasuk. They told them this is where you can test God and say, aser al manat shetit asher, that you should become rich. And then they say you can even test God in this manner. Give maaser and see if you really become rich. And then it says, right, and bring it ad beli dai. So they say, my ad beli dai. What does that mean? Amarami barav yud. Ad sheyivlu siftotechem milomar dai, until your lips are so worn out from saying die, 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 die. Okay, now this is confusing because on the one hand it says lepisha emitz palim arov hatova, right? And then meaning you can't. And then it says when God brings you so much, you're going to say die, die, die. Isn't that like davening that you don't want anymore? So one explanation is that really there's a difference between praying and saying enough. Saying enough is saying enough, but it's not the same as praying, please stop bringing me all this stuff. Some people actually, the Yerushalmi says, that Rabbi Yochanan brings, that someone brings this as a counterproof for him. That the Yerushalmi has a different version, and that this is a counterproof, saying you can say too much, okay? You can pray for too much. So anyway, there's different interpretations of how to look at this. Amarami Barav, Amarami Barav Yud, Ubagola Matri'in Aleha. But if you're in Galut, then you're allowed to complain about too much rain. Okay? You're allowed to pray about too much rain. And why is that? Because in the Galut, in Babel, they had a lot of rain, and too much rain was going to become a bad thing. Tanya Nami Hachi, there's also a braita that says that. Shanashik Shamea Merubin, Anshe Mishmar Shochin LaAnshe Ma'amad, the Anashim, the Mishmarot of the Kuna, send to the Anshe Ma'amad, right? They also say this, if you remember this, on Yom Kippur we say it in the Tefillah L'Anshei Sharon. I always think about it because we live in the Sharon. That lo yehu batehem kivrehem, because there were floods apparently. And so basically if there's too much rain, you know, have in mind the people in the Galut that they shouldn't get too much rain. So you see there it's allowed. There's a difference between complaining about too much rain, we talked about this before, when it's inconvenient because it rains all the time, or when it's really bad for the crops. If it's bad for the crops, you're allowed to pray. If it's not, then you can't. Shalu Rabbi Eliezer, ad hechang shamim yordin, v'yitpalelu shelo yordu. Okay, how much rain is considered the point where you're allowed to ask? Amar lahem, kedei she'yamod adam b'keren ofel, v'yishachshech raglav b'mayim. It's until a person can stand at this cliff, the top of this very high cliff, and his feet will get into the water, okay, which is, again, like we saw this in the Mishnah with Choni, until it gets to the Eben HaTo'in, right, which is so high up that it's not going to get there, and his feet will be in the water. V'hatanya doesn't say in a braita yadav viraglav. I'm sorry, yadav. It says v'yishachshech yadav b'mayim, his hands, not his feet. So they say, oh, don't worry, that's not a contradiction. Raglav ki yadav kamina. It's the same thing, either your feet or your hands. Amarav Rabbar Chana l'didi chazili karen ofel. Okay. I went to this place and I saw an Arab, like a socher, and he was riding on a camel. He had a romach, a spear in his hand, and he looked to me, mitchaze iniva. He looked to me like a worm. I was so high up and he was so low down that this guy carrying a spear in his hand, who maybe you would think was like a big guy and, you know, a big impression, and here he looked to me like a little teeny thing, and that's just giving you perspective on how high this cliff was. Okay, because from a distance, he looked like a very little. Tana Rabbanan. Benatati gishmechem beitam. Okay, I will bring rains in their proper time. Lo shikora velo tzmea ela benonit. Right, not a ton, like a drunk, overwhelming. Not tzmea, just a little bit, that it will be dry. Ela benonit. Shekol zman shagshamim merubim mitashdeshim et haaretz ve'ena motziah perot. Because when there's too much rain, it ruins the crops, and and the crops don't grow properly. So that's the first thing they learn. It means not just at their appropriate time, but in the appropriate quantity. Bi'itam, a different translation of bi'itam. Okay, itam really means in the right time. So the first translation doesn't really relate to time. It relates to how much. What does it mean, bi'itam, in their proper time? When's the proper time? On the night of Wednesday, which is really Tuesday night, and Friday night. In the days of Shimon ben Shetach, okay, there's this concept that in the days of Shimon ben Shetach, things were really good. I'm going to give a little background in a minute. And what happened? It would always rain on Tuesday nights and on Friday nights. And then what happened? That rain was so perfect that the wheat grew to the size of kidneys, the barley was like the size of olives, the lentils were the size of coins of money. What did they do? This is a great line. Sarirumehem dugma ledorot. They tied up, like they saved. Okay, an example of each of these. Tied them up and saved them ledorot, for the future generations. Lehodia kama hachet goren. To show future generations is interesting that they have this perspective. Because often when you're in a certain time period, you don't have perspective. They have perspective and they realize things are perfect now and they're not going to always be perfect. And they said, we're going to save this to remind the future generations that look at what sin does to you. It used to be that the fruits grew like this, the crops grew like this, and now they no longer do. Shene'emar, and this is a pasuk in the context of rain. Avonotechem hitu, it's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Avonotechem hitu ele, v'chatotechem man'u hatov mikem. Okay, that your avonot turn things away, and your chataim prevented the good from coming to you. V'chem atzinu b'imei hordus, sh'ayu oskim b'binyan Beit HaMikdash, v'hayu yordin g'shamim b'layla. L'machar, so again, they were busy building the Beit HaMikdash, and the rain would come at night, so that during the day they were able to build the Beit HaMikdash. L'machar, nashva haruach, v'nitpazru ananim v'zarcha hachama. Okay, so every night it would rain, and in the morning, the wind would go away, the clouds would, right? Anybody know the story, Shlosha Tapar Parim? I know my daughter's very into it, so we read it a lot. It's a kid's story, and it's about these butterflies that work together, and because of they try to go to flowers, and the flower only accepts, there's a red, a yellow, and a white, and the flowers only accept the same colors as the flower. So someone always has to be left alone, and it's pouring rain, and they want to, so they basically stick together, and they don't go for protection. And then it says bizchut that they, right, it's not a religious story, but because of that the sun sees and he comes out and he breaks through the clouds, and it's the exact same, they must have taken it from here because it's the exact same nashvah ruach nitpazru aviv, it's the same words even bizarcha chama v'yatzua am lemelachtan, and then everybody goes out to work v'yedu shemelechat shamayim bidehem, and they know that they're doing God's work because God is taking care of them. Okay, before we move on, and we're going to see now the version of the Choni story that's told in the Bavli, which is
it's
a little
the same
different
guy,
from
right? Shimon ben Shetach.
Yes, so we're going to talk about him right now for a minute. Okay, the Koran has a good background about him on the page of the Mishnah when it brought him up in the Mishnah. I just want to read it for a minute to see what was so great about the time of Shimon ben Shetach, and it's going to be background for our story for when Shimon ben Shetach gets somewhat angry at Choni. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on. So here it's. I'm just going to read it or a little summarize it. So he was in the Sea of the Sanhedrin during the reign of Alexander Yanai. He was one of the most important Jewish leaders and exponents of the oral law. Okay, so he was very into like the little details of Torah law. He took action against anyone who didn't go with the authority of, that was really his main thing. It's all about the authority of the Sanhedrin, whether it was within the Jewish community or from different sects. Okay, the witchcraft was also, right, we talked about that, how he got rid of all the witches. And which was also, like, if you think about witchcraft, is sort of like a magical approach to Torah, right? They had their own methods. And he was saying this is not allowed, right? It's all about the Sanhedrin and not about witchcraft and miracles, and right? And that's why Choni doesn't fit into his perspective. It's like the Hasidim and the Misnagdim, right? It's, you know, he's, Choni represents the Hasidim, and he's trying to keep the system in place. He even, because it's so important, the power of the Sanhedrin, he summons the king to judgment and demanded that he respect the court like an ordinary citizen. For this and many other reasons, he comes into conflict with Alexander Yana. He's forced to go into hiding many times. But he doesn't succumb to threats, honor, or flattery. Nothing fazes him. When people took revenge against him, this is interesting, and people testified falsely against him and his son, they accept punishment so as not to invalidate the halakhic system. There's even people lied about them, but they said, look, this is a dude, and we have to accept a dude because this is a court system, and, you know, and they accepted it. His sister was the king's wife, which is interesting because he had this whole fight with the king, and he continues, he tans leather, that's his job, he continues to do that even though he probably didn't need to. After the death of Alexander Yanai, his widow was his, Shimon ben Shetach's sister was the queen, and the internal affairs were handled by Shimon ben Shetach. In other words, he basically takes over for Alexander Yanai, working behind the scenes while his wife is the queen. And that's the time, I'm sorry, sister, thank you. This was considered a time of tranquility in every respect. In other words, it was known that at that time, that was, here, if you want to take this back now, swap back. That was the time, if you want, either way, that was the time when things were just, there was a certain amount of perfection in once he took over. Okay, so that's the backdrop for this next story also. Okay, now we have to kind of remember our version of the Mishnah. I'll compare a little bit as we learn. Tanu Rabbanan, Pam achat yatsa rov Adar, v'lo yaduk shamin. Okay, Adar ends, or most of Adar is over, and it hasn't rained, which is similar, we saw in the other one about, he says, bring in your Tanuray Pesachim, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly it's around the time of Nisan. Shachu lechoni hamagel, hitpalelu v'yarduk shamin. Said, please pray for rain. Hitpalel v'lo yaduk shamin. Okay, so first of all, what's missing here? In the Mishnah, we had the version where he said, everybody bring in your Tanurim because... it's right, they're going to get ruined in the rain. This arrogance. In this story, no arrogance on the part of Choni. And what happens? He prays and there's no rain, exactly like the first story. Ag uga, he makes a circle. V'ama b'tucha k'derech sha'asa Chavakuk ha'navi. At that point, we brought up this pasuk about Chavakuk, but the story itself didn't say it. Sh'ne'emar al mishmarti amda ve'et yatzva al matzor. Now, I'm going to stand here until God, you answer me. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam. בנך שמו פניהם עליי, שאני כבן בית לפניך. נשבע אני בשמך הגדול שאיני זז מכאן עד שתרחם על בנך. Okay, the same thing, right? He says, you know, your people trusted me to call to you, and I'm not going to move here until you have rachamim. התחילו גשמים מנטפים. Right, they start dripping. Now, in the first version of the story, what happens? Choni immediately turns to God and said, this isn't what I asked for. But in this story, אמרו לו תלמידיו. The Talmidim come back to Choni. Choni himself doesn't react. They come to him and they say, Rebbe, Reinu chavalo namut? We want to see you. We don't want to die. Okay, this isn't helping us. Kemidumim anu she'en shamim yordim, ela lahatir shvuatcha. It seems to us that the Geshem is coming, right? It's like when you say, don't touch me, and someone touches you like a teeny little bit, right? That it sounds like God is just bringing you rain so that you'll go out of your, you made this ultimatum, and he doesn't really want to bring rain, so he's just giving you a little drop, so your shvua will be lahatir shvuatcha. Amar lo kach, so then, after they complain to him, then he goes to God. In other words, it's almost like, who's calling the shots here? In the Mishnah story, it was all Choni. Here, it's the people are prodding him. Amar, so he goes back to God. Lo kach sha'alti ela gashmei barot shechinu ma'arot. Okay, it's exactly what we said there. We want reservoir water, enough to fill the reservoirs. Yerdu b'za'af. So now they come very strong. Ad shekol tipa u'tipa. Here's another embellishment that doesn't appear in the Bavli. Every single drop, kimelo pi chavit, was like the opening of a chavit, that big, okay, of a barrel. V'shiaru chachamim she'ein tipa p'chuta milog. Every tipa was a whole log's worth. I forget how big a log is, but it's big. It's like I don't remember, a pint, a liter, I don't remember exactly. Amrulo Talmidav. Rebbe, Reinu Chavalo Namut. Again, they come back to him. He said, we're going to die. Kimidumim Anu She'en Shamim Yordim Elel Abed Ha'olam. Now they say, it seems to us right here, the people are making all these conjectures. Seems that the rains are coming to destroy the world.
Log is the volume of 6 eggs.
Okay, 6 eggs. Okay.
It's still
a pint. Maybe a pint, right? A pint sounds maybe. Okay. Amar lefanav, lo kach sha'alti ela gashmei ratzon bracha unidavah. Right? I asked for good rains, bracha rains. Yardu kitiknan. Okay, they came the way they're supposed to. Ad sha'alu kol ha'am laharabayit mipnei hagshamim. Okay, here it's pretty much the same. There it says they left Yerushalayim and went to Harabayit. Here it just says they went up to Harabayit because that was the highest place to get away from the rains. Amrulo, Rebbe, kashem shitpalata sheyardu, kachit palel v'yachulahem. So now the people say to him, just like you pray that they should come, right? That also appeared in the other story. That part, the people came and said, it's too much rain. Please pray that they'll go away. Amar lahem, kach mikublani. Okay, now here it changes. There, if you remember, he said, su re'u im nimchet even ato'in. Go see. And then we had all different versions. Was he just saying, it'll never happen that the rain will get that high, and only when that happens, I'll ask for rain? And that's the last line of the story. Here the story continues. So now he says, kach mikublani she'ein mitpalalim arova tova. Okay, here he gives them a better explanation, right? He says, I've learned that you can't complain about too much good. But then he says, okay, the story has a totally different ending now. He says, but since you're asking, haviu li par hoda'a. Okay, bring me a par of hoda'a. Haviu lo par hoda'a, samach shtei adav alav, va'amar lefanav. They bring him a par hoda'a, right? A cow to a bull to make the, like a korban todah, thanking God. He does smichane va'amar. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, amcha Yisrael shehotzeita mimitzrayim, einam yecholim lo berov tova velo berov poranut. Okay? He says to them, and as he's using this par, he's bringing a korban todah, and he says to God, listen, your people that you took out of Mitzrayim, they can't handle too much good or too much bad. I was thinking it almost sounds like when Moshe, with the first two Dibrot, when God speaks to them and then the people can't handle it. So he's saying the people just can't handle it. Like you want to bring them good, but it's too much. Ka'as alehem enam yicholim la'amod. Hishpat alehem tova enam yicholim la'amod. It's almost like God has this vision of the world and Choni is there to kind of moderate it and say, God, it has to work in sync with the way the people are. Okay, they can't handle it. Yehi ratzon lefanecha, and here he does a tefillah. Even though he said we can't pray to stop the rain, he actually prays to stop the rain. Yehi ratzon lefanecha sheyifseku hagshamim v'yehi revach ba'olam. Okay, I want it to be good in the world. Miyad nashva haruach v'nitpazru ha'avim v'zarcha hachama. Okay, and his wish comes true. V'yatzu ha'am l'sadeh v'yaviu lahem kimhinu pitriyot. In other words, things started growing immediately. Okay, the mushrooms, the fungus. Okay, that's the end of the story. Very different ending.
You know, if he had to negotiate Gishmei Bracha, then Bracha, in a sense, means that it's also going to be up to a limit, so that it's totally unnecessary to request for it to end because...
Well, because Gishmei Bracha, you're still asking for good rains, but you're not asking about the quantity. In other words, still, that's what's interesting here. The rains are coming, but it's still too much. They're coming maybe at a calmer pace. So they're not destroying, right, the crops. Yeah. But I agree, though. There's
a lack of
who has a lack of? No, but it's too much rain for the people. They can't function now. They can't go back to their houses. They're all standing in Har Abayit, right? Nobody can go home because everything's underwater.
What's the reasons why you would have two stories in the county?
Okay, so that's a very easy answer because basically what is it? You all know there's stories that are passed down from generation to generation. Everyone has a different version of it, right? As the story gets passed down, it gets embellished, it gets changed. And what's the story? Whoever is telling the story adds in things that relate to their generation, right? If a rabbi is telling us a drasha, right? It doesn't have to be a rabbi, it could be anybody. They take that story to take the moral lesson that they want. So let's say, for example, the arrogance factor. So the arrogance factor only appears in one version, not in another version. So the person who wanted, right, they wanted to highlight, in this story, really, Choni looks pretty good in this story. In the Mishnah, we have a little more criticism of him. He immediately goes back to God, what is this you sent me, and what is that? And there's more criticism of him, and he's arrogant and saying, oh, go bring your tanurim in because it's going to pour as soon as I start davening. He has that arrogance. So obviously, whoever was telling that story wanted to focus on that issue in addition to some other issues. Whereas here, it doesn't appear that wasn't what their focus was. So there's different things about what it is. Another issue really could be this issue of the authority, the conflicts between, we're going to see now, the Shimon ben Shetach versus the Hasidim. You know, that this is all part of this conflict, and they're trying to also stress that issue. You know, again, you can analyze this for hours and come to all different conclusions about it, what all the differences are, but we don't have time to do that in our class. Okay, so let's move on now. Shimon ben Shetach. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Umalei choni ata gozrani alecha nidoy. If you weren't choni, I would put you in nidoy. And this is, again, we talked about how nidoy was very much used in this generation of, you know, trying to set up the Sanhedrin as the central authority. And anyone who didn't listen, they put into nidoy. She'ilu shanim. Now here, there's a different reason given than in the Mishnah. She'ilu shanim kishne Eliyahu, she'maftechok shamim biyado shel Eliyahu, lo nimtza shem shamayim etchalel al yadecha. Okay, so now it's very unclear what this means. There's different interpretations given. But they say, if it's supposed to be, what's the issue? If it's supposed to be like the days of Eliyahu, when there was supposed to not be any rain, and now you come and give God an ultimatum and say, either it rains or I stay in here, no matter what, Shem Shamayim is going to be mitchalel. Either God said he was going to bring rain, and that's not going to happen now because he's going to bring rain because you've made this ultimatum. You've stuck him in a corner where he has no choice. Or if it doesn't rain, you're going to make a chilul Hashem because here you go sit in the, right? You're going to end up in the middle of your ugah for a really long time, and it's going to be a chilul Hashem because it's like God isn't answering you. So no matter what, you're making a chilul Hashem. There's different interpretations. I'm not going to go into them because, again, we don't have time to go into all the options. Okay. This appeared in our Mishnah, right? You're being not appropriate toward God. But he gives you what you want. Here's a bit of an extended version. It's like a son who says to his father, the kid says to his father, wash me in hot water, and then he says, wash me in cold water, right? Like, make up your mind, right? Ten li egozim, shkedim, aparsekim, v'rimonim. I want everything. I want this, I want that, I want that. V'no ten lo, and he gives him everything. V'alecha ketuv omer yismach avicha v'yimecha v'tagel yoladetecha. Clearly, God loves you the way a parent loves a child, and therefore, he's giving you what you want. Okay, so who am I to say? So here he's saying, basically, I totally disagree with your approach, right? In the lines of Shemot Chetach, like we read, but clearly God is on your side here, so it's hard for me to stop you. But he really was, you know, fighting against him. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Ma shachu b'nei lishkata gazit l'choni ha-magel. What did the people sitting in the Sanhedrin, here it's interesting because this is the Sanhedrin, right, where they were kind of against the approach of him. However, they come out and respect him. What did they say to choni ha-magel? But Vatigzar Omer, Vayakam Lach, Va'al Drachecha Naga Or. That's a pasuk. Okay, what does it mean? Vatigzor Omer, it's a pasuk from Eof. Vatigzor Omer means Atagazarta Milamata. Vakadosh Baruch Hu Makayem Amarcha Milamala, right? Vatigzor Omer, you said, you made a gzera Milamata, and then Vayakam Lach, right? God made it happen for you, Milamala. Va'al drachecha naga or, dor shahaya afel he'arta b'tfilatecha. Okay, there was a generation that was dark, and you lit it up with your tfilot. Ki hishpilo, okay, now the next pasuk continues. Ki hishpilo, batomer gave, v'shach inayim yoshia. Okay, what does it mean? Ki hishpilo, batomer gave, dor shahaya shafel, okay, the door was low, the generation, higbahato b'tfilatecha. It's the same concept. You lifted them up with your tfilah. V'shach inayim, shach inayim, Yoshia, dor sheshach avono, a generation that was low because of its sins, hoshata b'tfilatecha, you saved by your tfilot. Okay, last pasuk, yimaleit inaki, what does that mean? Dor shahaya naki, shalo haya naki, inaki means not naki. Dor shehalo haya naki, you saved it. You made it run away, like made it disappear by your tefillot. Vinimlat bibor kapecha, milatito b'maasei hadecha habrurim. Because of your actions that were so clean and so pure, borer, right? After you put flour through a sifter, right? It becomes very clean. That's right, like borer. Bruin, your maasei hadecha were so clean that you basically, with your powers, you were able to be metahera generation. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so that's basically the end of this section of Choni. Now we're going to get to another story about Choni. By the way, some people say this isn't the same Choni. Okay. So now, this is also the other famous story that you know of Choni. These are the two stories everybody knows. So basically, we have this story again. What's interesting about it is if you take this line that it was a fight between the Sanhedrin and the Hasidim, in the end, the Sanhedrin, the Lishkat HaGazi, praises him. They see his value. Okay, which is also Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach had no problem putting other people in Nidoi and getting rid of all the witches. So he saw, even though he disagreed with it, you see kavod, right? He saw that there was value to it and was able, right, as we always talk about accepting others in the struggle between, you know, holding your opinion very strongly, but yet seeing that there's value to the other side. So in the end, they see there's value to the other side. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Yamav, but despite that, by the way, Shimon ben Shetach does criticize him, right? Even though he's not putting him in Nidoi, he is critical of him. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Yamav Shalotot Tzadik Hayam Etzter Ol Mikra Zeh. All of his life, he was always troubled by this pasuk. Shir Hamaalot B'Shuv Hashem Et Shivat Zion Hayinu Kecholmim. Okay, what's the problem with this pasuk? It says Shivat Zion, in the time of Shivat Zion, which was how long? 70 years. Hayinu Kecholmim, we were dreaming. We were like we were dreaming. Amar, mi'i kadenayim shivim shanim b'chelma? Could it be somebody would sleep for 70 years and have a dream for 70 years long? It doesn't make sense. What do you mean you were dreaming for 70 years? It doesn't make any sense. You can already tell what story is coming. Yom achad hava'aza ba'orcha. He was walking on the path one day. Chaz yelahu gavra davanata charuva. He sees a guy planting a carob tree. Amar le, hayad kama shanin tayin. How long does it take for this to bear fruits? Amar le, ad shivim shanin. 70 years. Amar le, Pshitalach dechayit shivim shanin. What, you think you're going to live 70 years and see this fruit tree come to life? Amar le, hai gavra alma b'charuva eshkechte. I came into this world and I found charuv trees, right? I found carob trees. Why? Ki hechi deshat le'ahavtai. I came into a world full of carob trees because my father's planted carob trees for me. Shat le'nami liverai. So I am now going to plant trees for my children. Yativ kakarich rifta. He sits down to eat bread. Atale shinta, a cliff grew up. Nim, he fell asleep. Atale shinta, shena came upon him. I was confusing it with the mishunita. Okay, atale shinta, shena came upon him. Sleep came upon him. He fell into a deep sleep. Nim fell into a deep sleep. Ahadrele mishunita, a big cliff grew to block him. Okay, so no one would see him, to hide him. Ikase, he got covered by it. Ikase mayana. Mayan came also, and I guess, right? Ikase Mayan, is that what it is? Mayan, right? And people just couldn't find him. Vinim Shivim Shnin, and he slept for 70 years. Kikam, when he woke up, Chaz Yelahu Gavra, to have a Kamalake Minayi, we saw somebody picking carobs from the tree. Amar Le, Atu Deshatalte, are you the one who planted this? Amar Le, Barbire Ana, I'm the grandson. Amar Le, Shmamina, Dinayime Shivim Shnin. It's very interesting, right? He immediately realizes, I've slept 70 years. He figures out immediately what had happened, right? It's not like he calculated 70 years, but he knew, right? He said, right, it's going to grow in 70 years, and now I've reached that point. Right? I think he also realized what's really going on in this story is very much similar to the first Choni story. It's all about your prayers. Be careful what you pray for, right? He didn't exactly pray for this, but he asked, how could this be? And then God showed him, how could it be? And he realizes, I think this sign, with this immediate statement of his is a recognition of God having answered his prayers directly. You know, like we've talked about a lot in the last few days, you have to be careful what you wish for, right? Okay. So now, the story actually has a sad ending. I don't know if you remember the end of the story. Chazal Chamre did Yadale Ramche Ramche. He sees that his Chamorim have given birth to grandchildren also. Azal Abete, he goes back to his house. Amar Lehu, Berei de Choni Amagel mi kayam, is the son of Choni Amagel still alive? Amrule berei leita bar berei ita. His son died, but his grandson is here. Amar lehu ana Choni Hamagel. I am Choni. Lo him nuhu. They didn't believe him. Okay, his own house doesn't believe him. So what does he do? Azal lebeit mitrash. He figures maybe in the Beit Mitrash they'll recognize me. Shaminu le Rabbanan de kaamre nihiren shmatin ki b'shnei Choni Hamagel. He hears somebody say, your shmuot are so clear. It's like in the time of Choni Hamagel when everything was so great and everybody understood everything. Why was it so great then? Every question they had, Choni would answer it. Amar lehu, ana nihu. He said, I am him. Lo hem nihu. They didn't believe him. They didn't give him the proper respect that he should have gotten. Chalashdate. He felt terrible. He got sick. By Rachame Umet. He asked for Rachamim from God to die, basically. Mm-hmm. He wanted to die. Right here again, what do you see? What you get, he asked to die, God gave it to him. Amar Rava Hainu Damre Inche O Chevruta O Mituta. This comes up also by the famous story of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. If you don't have a chevra, basically you die. In other words, there's no point to live anymore. Okay?
This guy gets whatever he prays for.
Right, this guy really gets whatever he prays for. Okay? Okay, so some people use this story. Jeff Rubenstein has a whole theory about the rabbis and how about the Bavli versions of these stories. And how you say, what's the difference between the versions? Sometimes if you see it in the Bavli Yerushalmi, you'll see also different themes that come out in the Bavli versions and in the Yerushalmi versions based on what their issue is. And I'm trying to remember now. It's fleeting my mind what his whole thing is about. Let's see if I recall. It's about, there were a few pages. One second. Let's see if I can quickly find this. Goes here. One second. Right. It's all about embarrassment and how the rabbis couldn't handle embarrassment. In other words, shame is like the real killer. You know, in the Bavli, that was like a big issue going on in the Beit Midrash. And this is showing that because he was shamed, right, nobody recognized him, nobody gave him the proper respect, that was, you know, better to die than to have shame. And that's a big theme in the Bavli stories. Okay, again,
but
whole shear on stories.
But it didn't mention
that
in the beginning that Choni HaMa'agel was a Talmid.
We didn't get the sense that he was
a Chacham. Yes, I know. I was thinking about that also.
He was a
Yeah. It's true. He wasn't right. It doesn't talk about him being this big Talmid Chacham. It could be very much, again, it depends on your version and what you do with it, right? That the rabbis are turning him into a Lamdam because why? They want to make a critique of the Beit Midrash and things that go on in the Beit Midrash. So they use the world of Beit Midrash, even though that wasn't really his world, especially if we talk about he was the Hasid and Shimon ben Chetach was the Lamdan, right? And it was sort of they were against each other. Not that he wasn't learned, but that wasn't his big thing, and that he would be the one who answered all the kushiyot. It seems like the Bavli's taking it to make some critiques about what goes on in the Beit Midrash, and that wasn't really necessarily the truth. Again, how much of the story of Bichlal is truth, you know, nobody really knows. Obviously, most of these stories are stories that are told to pass on a message and not necessarily about truth, but you know, there must be some basis in truth that they're building on. But they definitely have freedom of anything to add whatever embellishments they want. Okay. Abba Chilkiah. Now we're going to get to Abba Chilkiah, his grandson. Barbarei Dechoni HaMagel Hava. V'chi Mitzrich Alma L'mitra Hava Mishadri Rabbanan L'gabei. Okay, when people would need rain, they would send the rabbis to him. Ubai Rachamei, and he would ask for Rachamim V'ate Mitra. Okay, not only him, but also his son, his grandson had the powers. Zim Nechada Itzrich Alma L'mitra. One time they needed rain. Shadri Rabbanan Zuga de Rabbanan L'gabei. They sent two rabbis to go to him. He goes to his house. They went to his house and they don't find him. They go to the fields. They find him. He was hoeing in the fields. They say hello to him. He doesn't respond to them. Okay, we're going to have what's the structure of the story. We're going to have the whole story. And then the rabbis are going to ask, why did you do this? Why did you do that? So don't ask questions yet. Okay, he doesn't answer them. Bipanya, in the evening, he have a minkat tzivi, when he was carrying his trees, darat tzivi umara b'chad katvi, he carried his trees and the trees he cut and his spade, his hoe, on one shoulder, b'chad katva, b'glima b'chad katva, and on the other shoulder he put his cloak. Kula orcha lo siyem misane, the whole way he didn't put shoes on. Kimata lamaya siyem misane, when he gets to the water, then he puts his shoes on. Kimata lihizme bihigi, when he gets to thorns and bushes. Dalinhu lamane, he picks up his cloak so that it doesn't get stuck on the kotsim, right? But obviously what's going to get hit by the kotsim? His legs. Okay. Kimata lamata, when he gets to the city, Nafka debitu lape, his wife comes out. Kimakashta, she's all dressed up, all decked out with jewelry, makeup. She looks beautiful. Kimata lebete, when he goes into his house, First his wife goes in, v'hadra aile iu, then he goes in, v'hadra aile rabbanan, and then the rabbis go in. Yati v'karach rifta, they go sit down and eat. V'lo amar luhu l'rabbanan tu kruchu, he doesn't say that the rabbis come sit down and eat with me. Palag rifta liyinuke, he gives now bread to his children. L'kashisha chada ulesutra trei, he gives his older son one, his younger son two. Amar, two portions, right? Two slices of bread. Amar le l'dibitu, Yadana Rabbanan, so now his wife says to him quietly, Yadana de Rabbanan Mishum Mitra Ka'atu, do you know these rabbis are here to ask you to pray for rain? Nisak le'igra, Amar la, he says to his wife. He says to his wife, I know that these rabbis are here because of the rain. Ka'atu, let's go together. Nisak le'igra, let's go up quietly to the roof. V'nibai rachame. Efshari de miratze akadosh baruchu v'yete mitra. What does he want? It's now that we get this whole issue. Until now, we've had people, they say, ask for rain, and they ask for rain. He doesn't want the rabbis to think that the powers are coming from him. Okay? He doesn't want them to be machzik tovalo, like think that it's all about him and that that's what brought the rain. It's unclear exactly why he doesn't want to do this. You can come up with different interpretations. But basically, that's what's going on here. He doesn't want, and we're going to see this later on also, he doesn't want them to think that it came from him. So he says, let's just go quietly upstairs. That's right. And then we'll pray. The rain will start coming. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. Okay? Sakul igra, they go upstairs. Kam iu b'chada zavita. V'ihi b'chada zavita. What does this sound like, right? They each sat in a different corner. Do you remember this from Yitzchak and Rivka? They prayed in different corners, right? Mm-hmm. One got answered, one didn't. Kadim salak anane mehach zavita didibitu. All of a sudden, the clouds start parting. The clouds start coming out on the side where his wife was praying. Ki nachit, when they go down, Amar lehu, now he goes down to the house, and he says to the rabbis, Amai atu rabbanam, why'd you come here? Amulei shadri lam rabbanam legabe demar, the rabbi sent us to you, lemeber racham amitra, to ask for rachamim for the rain. Amar lehu, baruch hamakom, shalo tzrichetchem la'abachilkia. Ah, baruch Hashem, you don't even need me. Look, it's raining outside. Amulei, they say to him, Yadina Dimitra Mahmat Mar Mechamat Mar Hudata. We know it's coming from you. Elalemalan Mar Hani Mile Ditmialan. But can you please explain to us a few things that we really don't understand? And it's actually gonna be a lot more than just a few. Okay, they start out with their questions. My time aki Avina Lamar Shlama Lo Ezbra Lamar Ape. Why didn't you say hello to us when we said hello to you? Amar Luhu Shir Yom Havai. I work, I get paid for a day's work. Pamina, loi pagar. I don't want to be bipigur with my hours, right? In other words, if I start saying hello to you, then I'm going to stop working and then I'm getting paid for work that I didn't do. All those people who sit on the phone and talk to their friends during work, right? Okay. Umay taima dara mar tzive chag katfe beglima chag katfe. Why'd you put all the trees on one side and your jacket on the other side? It doesn't make any sense. Amar lehu talit shu lahaita lahachi shale ulahachi lo shale. It was a borrowed cloak, and I borrowed it to wear, but not to carry things, right? In other words, if I wore my cloak and then put the trees on my shoulder, I might ruin the cloak. I didn't borrow it to carry trees on it. I borrowed it to wear. My time akula or chalosi and marmasane. Why don't you wear shoes? Now, obviously, what's coming out here is that he was poor, and you're going to see through the rest of the story. So he had to borrow a cloak. He didn't have his own. Why wasn't he wearing shoes? B'chimati lamayasi and masane. And dafka, when you got to the water, you put them on. Amar lehu kule or chazina. I could see the floor the whole time, so I knew how to walk, that I could walk with bare feet. He didn't want his shoes to get ruined. So he didn't wear them when he didn't need them. If I could see what I'm stepping on, no problem. As soon as I get to the water, I can't see what I'm stepping on. I might hurt my feet. So then I put my shoes on, but I didn't want my shoes to wear away because then I won't have shoes to wear. Why did you pick up your clothes? Amar lehu. If I get scratches on my feet, they'll heal. But if I get scratches on my clothes, I won't be able to fix them. My time, akimata mar lamata, nafka debitu demar kimakashta. Why was your wife all dressed up? Amar lehu kadesha lo atene naiv isha acheret. She wanted to look beautiful, so I wouldn't start looking at other women. My time, lahibaresha, vahadar almar, abatra, vahadar ailinu anan. Why did we go in this order? That she went in first, then you, then me. Amar lehu mishum delo b'dikituli. You guys weren't, I didn't know what kind of people you were. And then I was worried that maybe you were going to try to get involved with my wife. So I wanted to be in between me and my wife. You and my wife. My tama kikarach marifta lo amarlan. This is a great one. Why when we went down to eat, we sat down to eat, lo amarlan itu kruchu. This happens all the time, by the way. Okay? At least for me. Right? You know, I've seen situations. Why when you sat down to eat, did you not invite us to eat? Mishum de lo nefishe rifta. I don't have a lot of bread. Vamina lo achzik behu barabanan tivuta bechinam. What did he assume? He didn't have a lot of bread. So what's going to happen? If he offers these rabbis food, what are they going to say? No, thank you. Right? And they're going to say that, oh, wow, what a great guy that he offered us food, even though he doesn't have food on his table. But he said, if I did that, it would be a totally ingenuine offer because I know that you're going to say no. Right? You know, like you want to pay someone back for something and you know they're not going to take the money. You don't know how to behave. Like, should you offer the money? But then they're going to say, oh, look how nice you are. She offered the money. But you know that it's useless because they're not going to take the money anyway. So that's like a good situation. So we said, I didn't offer you at all. My time yav marli yenuka kashi shachada rifta ulazutra tre. Why'd you give the older one and the younger one two? Amar lehu, hai kai bebeite v'hai yati bebeit knista. The older one lives in the house, and in the house, there's always other food to eat. In other words, if he's hungry, he can always find something to snack on. But this one, the younger one, goes to the Beit Knesset to learn, and because of that, he's in the Beit Knesset most of the day, and therefore I gave him more food so he'd have more food stored up. Umay time a kadum salik anane mehach savita to have a kaime debitu. Obviously, they knew what was going on the roof. He said, why did the ananim work for your wife and not for you? Debitu demar la anana dide. Mishum deitit tashricha bebeite. She's in the house more. The yave rifta la anie. And she gives bread to the poor people. Makarva hanayata. When she gives bread to the poor people who come to her house, she gives them immediate benefit. Va'ana yehiv nezuze. I give poor people money. V'lo makarva hanayata. It takes them time until they go to the store, they buy the food, and then they have it. So she makes, right, she makes the chesed happen quicker, so she was able to bring the rain quicker. And she has more zchuya. Inami, another thing about her. Hani biryone dehava b'shivuvutan. There are these biryonim in these bad guys in our neighborhood. Ana bai rachame delimutu. I pray that they die. Vehi bai rachame delahadru b'tiyuvta. And she prays for rachamim that they are lachzor b'tshuva. This is very famous with Bruria, the same story in Rabbi Meir. That he prayed that they die. Yitamu chata'im in haaretz. They say chata'im, the chet, not the chot'im. Okay? In other words, you want to get rid of evil. You don't want to get rid of people. So she had more sensitivity, Bruria there and the wife here, more sensitivity than the husband. He wanted to get rid of the bad people. They say, no, make them lachzor b'tshuva, v'ahadru, and it actually worked. She asked for rachamim, and they were chozer b'tshuva, and that gave her special tuyot. Okay, let's do one more story here. Hanan ha'nichba, bar barte de choni amagel. He's the son of the daughter of choni amagel. Hava ki mitzrich ama lemitra, hava mishadru rabbanin yinuka de beirav. They would send the children, the talmidim of the beit rabban, to this son, right, the grandson through the daughter of Choni Hamaga. To Be'rav Legabe. Okay. B'nach tele b'shipule glime. V'amrule, they go on, grab onto his cloak. V'amrule, Abba, havlan mitra, give us rain. Amar lefanai, ribonosh, kadosh baruch hu. I'm sorry. Amar lefanai kadosh baruch hu. Ribonosh l'alam. Aseh b'shvil elu she'em mekirim ben abadiyav mitra la'abadilo yav mitra. Here's a good line. I think it can be explained in two different ways. Most of the first one explained, give it to, right, answer these children who don't know the difference between me and you. In other words, they think I can bring the rain, and I know you're the one who brings the rain. But I was thinking maybe Abba, they think I'm like Choni Hamagel, my grandfather, right? They don't know the difference. Why did they call him Chanan HaNechba? Here's a very strange thing. What does it mean? He would hide himself in the Beit HaKisei. Some people say, right, the Beit HaKisei is the bathroom. Some people say that he was Sanua even in the bathroom. Some people say that he was, it's not even with the words Beit HaKisei. He was just Machbiat Atzmo. And then it means Machbiat Atzmo just like Abachilkia. He didn't want people to ask him for rain and think that he was the one who brought the rains. He would hide so that they wouldn't come ask him. There's different interpretations that are given. Okay, the next thing, I'll just give you an intro. Amrli Rabbi Zreka le Rav Safra, tachazi ma bin tkipe da'arad Yisrael l'chassidei Bavel. What's the difference between the great people in Eretz Yisrael and the chassidei Bavel? Okay, if we're already talking about great characters, we're going to say, they're going to give a story. It's not a complicated story, so I'll leave it for you for Shabbat. But it's different stories about what the chassidim of Bavel are and what the chassidim of Eretz Yisrael are. Okay. Shabbat Shalom.